As we see in each of the Gospels, we see what that looks like for God to dwell among us in the flesh. And each story of Jesus teaching and loving and healing and suffering, we see what is also God's actions, what is also at the heart of God, the heart of God for the world we see in Jesus. We see not a distant, untouchable God, but in Jesus we see a God who comes near to us. We have a God who meets us where we are, full of compassion. Our scripture this week tells us more of his amazing story for us. And we're reading this week from the Gospel of Luke, from chapter 5. Once, when he was in one of the cities, there was a man covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground and begged him, "Lord, if you choose, you can make me clean." Then Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, and said, "I do choose, be made clean." Immediately the leprosy left him, and he ordered him to tell no one and pray. "Go," he said, "and show yourself to the priest, and as Moses commanded, make an offering for your cleansing for a testimony to them." But now, more than ever, the word about Jesus spread abroad. Many crowds would gather to hear him and to be cured of their diseases, but he would withdraw to deserted places. That's where the pray was supposed to be. And pray on the last slide. I'm sorry. I don't know how exactly that happened. And pray. Earlier in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he said, to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And in Jesus' life, the truth of this mission and this purpose on earth became clear. It became clear in each story along the way, evident before people's eyes and in people's lives, that he came to set the oppressed free, to bring good news. Everywhere he went, he was making things better for all of those around him. And the point is being made clear here, even in our story today, too, that Jesus meant what he said, that he was there to free the oppressed, to bring good news to the poor, release the captives. Everywhere he went, he was bringing good news in one way or another, whether in words or in his actions, always he was making things better for those around him. And he changes the life of a leper in our scripture today. It may seem somewhat foreign to us today, this struggle of the leper. I read that on the edge of the cities in the ancient world, there would be these huge pits that were dug. And in those pits lived the lepers of the community. And that's where they were to stay. And if by some chance they did get out and go out into the streets, they would be quickly greeted with shouts to identify them as unclean, along with stones thrown to make them keep their distance. And according to the book of Leviticus, lepers were to live and to stay outside of the community. And so this was kind of the reality they were living with. Not only did these struggling lepers have to endure the disease, which was enough as it was, but they were also isolated from society on the outskirts of town and kept from everybody they knew, everybody they loved. And it's hard to imagine here someone more in need of healing, really. There was this disease itself. And then everything else that came along with it, the isolation, the stigma, social, religious, moral stigma. They were unclean. They were untouchable. But here in our story, Jesus encounters one of these unclean, a leper who falls down, bows his face to the ground and begs him, "Lord, if you choose," he said, "you can make me clean." And the leper had obviously heard of the healings that Jesus had performed, trusted that Jesus could heal him too. And so he falls down, he falls at his feet and begs, "You can make me clean." And Jesus can, of course, he does heal the man. This is a story about a leper, certainly, about the compassion Jesus has for him. But in another sense, it's about us. It's about us too. The leper who knows how deeply scarred, how unclean he is. He comes and he falls to the ground, hoping that he can be made clean. And this is essential in the story. This has to happen first for the leper, for any of us. In order for the healing to happen, first the man has to come, has to know his need, has to fall to the ground. We have to know our need. We too have to fall humbly before Jesus. Oddly enough, it is often those who are struggling the deepest, who know their brokenness, who know so well that imperfect nature of themselves, who then have the humility enough to go and to fall down, to beg at the feet of Jesus. But this is something necessary, not only for this leper, but for anyone who wants to know that kind of healing and that kind of wholeness that Jesus can bring. There is a wholeness, a saving grace that Jesus has for the broken. And it is those who recognize their need, who turn to God, who fall face down to the ground repentant, who then can know that healing hand of Jesus in their lives. I have a friend who years ago, he committed an offense, a felony level offense, got in a lot of trouble. And it was a terrible thing, and he knows himself it was. I was talking with him afterward about it and about his relationship with God. He wanted to be a good man. But after having been on the news, his face plastered so all could see his sin, he was struggling with that. And when I talked to him, I shared with him the one advantage that I thought he had in his Christian journey. And that was that he wouldn't soon forget. He wouldn't soon forget that sin and that brokenness in his life. I'm not sure how comforting that was to him at that time, though it is an advantage. It's so deeply necessary in the life of faith to know well our desperate need for a Savior. There are times we as Christians can oddly forget and are striving for holiness and trying to live in the way of goodness and righteousness. These are our efforts we should be making in the Christian life, but we should never forget also that we've got to come to Jesus begging. The life of faith requires of us this frame of mind, humble before God, knowing we can't save ourselves, that we are imperfect, even as good as we may be at covering it up sometimes. Still, we are scarred with brokenness and sin. We are the leper. But the promise in this story is that we can know the healing, the wholeness, the salvation that Jesus can bring if we but fall repentant at his feet. Our story today really reveals just how amazingly deep the compassion that is that Jesus has for people who come in their need. It's not just that Jesus heals the leper, but the way that Jesus heals this leper, it tells us something. It's not always that important, the way that Jesus does it. That he heals someone is enough, certainly, but it is important in this story, though, I think. In other stories, Jesus has healed people from a distance, or Jesus can just give a command, and the person is made well. But in this story, where the man is unclean, where the man's disease is contagious. In this story, it tells us that Jesus reaches out his hand. He touches the leper. He restores him. He's made clean. He reaches out, he touches him. Jesus touches him. In his great love, Jesus risks his own life, makes himself unclean, takes it upon himself. This is just like Jesus. It is just like what Jesus does for us in the cross. It's just like what he does for us Jesus takes upon himself that which is unclean about us, takes upon himself the brokenness, the sin of the world, and he bears it for us. When we are overwhelmed, when we are in need of wholeness, when we've become desperate, we may begin to think that God has abandoned us, but God sees us. We see that here in this story. God sees us with whatever brokenness we are carrying, has compassion on us. In the cross, Jesus, God in the flesh, he reaches down, he touches us. He brings the sword of peace, the wholeness only he can bring. There's a story I've heard that retells of this burden-bearing reality of the life of Christ another way. And the story tells of someone who watches as a man called the Rag Man travels through town. And all along the way, he's calling out rags, new rags for old. And soon the rag man sees a woman sitting on her back porch, and she's sobbing. She's sobbing into her handkerchief, her heart breaking. And the rag man stops his cart. And quietly, he walks over to the woman. "Give me your rag," he says gently, "and I'll give you another." And he takes the handkerchief from her eyes and he lays in her hand a linen so clean and new that it shines. And then as he begins to pull his cart again, the ragman did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face. And then he himself began to weep, to sob as deeply as she had done, his shoulders shaking. Yet she was left without a tear. And he went on still, "New rags for old," he called, and in a little while the ragman came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage. Blood soaked her bandage, and now the ragman looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, "and I'll give you mine." And he loosened the bandage, removed it, and tied it to his own head. And with the bandage went the wound and blood of his own now. And the ragman continued walking along, this now sobbing and bleeding man. And this went on as he made his way through town, taking the wounds and the burdens of a man with one arm, who then walked away with two, for the ragman bore his burden. He came upon an old man lying unconscious and drunk beneath an old blanket. And the ragman took that blanket and he wrapped it around himself, but for the drunk he left new clothes. And he took that burden as he had taken the others, now weeping and bleeding and stumbling, and made his way to the end of the street. And at the end of the street, he climbed a hill with tormented labor. He climbed that hill and he lay down and he died. The ragman, the Christ. This is just like Jesus. This is just like our Christ, the one who in the flesh comes, dwells among us. He can take the greatest burdens that we have to bear, that of sin and death. He takes them upon himself so that we might be brought out of our brokenness and be made whole. And when Jesus touches us, when Jesus heals us, when we experience the compassion of Christ, the love of Christ, and we are forever changed. The leper is healed, changed forever by the compassion of Jesus. And it is good news. It is news that has to be shared. Jesus says to the man, he tries to tell him, he says, orders him, and he says, "Tell no one." But now, more than ever, the word spread about Jesus, it says. He can't keep a secret, and neither can we. We have to share the grace that we've experienced. We have to share the love that we've been shown from God. There's a story about an old man who carried a little can of oil with him everywhere he went. And if he passed through a door that squeaked, he put a little oil on the hinges. And if a gate was hard to open, he oiled the latch. And so he passed through his life, lubricating all of these creaking places, making it a little easier for those who came after him. And people called him eccentric and strange, even harsher names. But the old man went steadily on, oiling the squeaky places he found, every creaky door, every rusty hinge, everywhere he went, making it a little easier for those around him. And there are many in our lives, we may come across that crack, that squeak, that grate harshly day by day. Those who need this kind of attention, need those who carry with them this kind of oil of kindness, of gentleness, thoughtfulness. The world needs this kind of person. And it is just like Jesus. It's just like Jesus. But it is also our call as we follow him into this world. And it is the appropriate response in the Christian life to share that grace that we've experienced, share the love that we've been shown, to bit by bit all along the way, share the story, share the truth, the reality of God's love for the world in whatever ways we can. Amen.